My name is Andy Conlin, and I'm a graduate student researcher with the Africa Center. Today, you're listening to Field Notes. Field Notes is a growing communications project designed to collect and promote research and communications from Colorado State University and beyond.
Today, we're talking to Tawabe Nagash. Tawabe is a PhD student in anthropology from Ethiopia. We talk about his research, how he was awarded the prestigious Baldwin Fellowship from the Leakey Foundation, and more. Join me in welcoming Tawabe.
Thank you for joining us, Tawabe. Can you start by just giving us a brief introduction?
My name is Tawabe Nagash. I'm Ethiopian paleoanthropologist and second year PhD student at CSU in biological anthropology.
Great, thank you. Will you tell us a little bit about what your work is and what research questions you're trying to answer?
My research is mainly studying the paleoecology and paleoenvironments of East Africa hominin, and what is the role of the paleoenvironment in the local paleoecology that leads to the extinctions of the genus Australopithecus and the rises of genus Homo. That is my research, what I wanted to answer.
Okay, and how has your background, your experiences led you to this research?
I got my degree, my first degree in archaeology and heritage management, and then I was working in the Ministry of Culture and Tourism of Ethiopia. That leads me to explore like a couple of field schools to work together with researchers and to explore the paleoanthropological and paleontological sites of the country. And then I have always this curiosity like where we come from, and doing field researches like conducting survey, excavating, discovering something that leads me more curious like what is going on. When I was working in the Ministry of Culture and Tourism, I moved to grad school in Ethiopia. I got a scholarship and continue in paleoanthropology. That is always leads me like more excited to study. And then after that, I joined the National Museum of Ethiopia, and doing this research is like built through coursework and field experience. It makes me more like to answer questions and learn more in this field.
Yeah. And can I ask, how did you find CSU?
CSU is really a cool place. It is a very friendly environment, and I really love the environment and the landscape. I born and grew up in the central highlands of Ethiopia. It is a little bit higher than this elevation, and I do love the environment. It is blue sky and makes me kind of remembering my birthplace and kind of connected, you know. I love CSU, generally Fort Collins, Colorado, as like a place, and CSU is very cool. I have a nice research team, including my advisors and co-workers. They are very friendly and welcoming people. Yeah, I love it. It is cool.
Good, I'm glad. So I saw that you were recently awarded a Baldwin Fellowship from the Leakey Foundation. Can you tell us a little bit about what that fellowship is?
Yeah, the Baldwin Fellowship is basically for developing countries, the underrepresented countries in paleoanthropology and archaeology, generally in the field of natural history. They award students and trained to get better education and go back and recruit more scholars in that discipline. So I got this scholarship, have a long-term plans to work with my country, and the Baldwin Fellowship helped me to adjust myself with the U.S. environment, and it is really a good opportunity for me to have this fellowship.
Yeah. What does it, I guess, mean to you that you were selected for the fellowship?
Oh, it is... I don't know. I was so excited, and I'm grateful about that. I know it's a competitive scholarship, and I can't believe when I got it. Like, it leads me to achieve my dreams, to become a research scientist in my country, and it makes me like more determined and more committed to the field.
Good. Well, congratulations. I'm glad that you got it.
Thank you so much.
So what originally got you interested in exploring the paleo-environmental and paleo-geographical context of the extinction of the Australopithecus?
You know, in the time period between 3 million to 2 million there is a huge gap in the fossil record. For example, Australopithecus and genus Homo overlaps in time, but we don't know what looks like their niche partitioning, or we don't know what causes for the extinctions of Australopithecus and favors for the rises of genus Homo. Even we don't know for the first time who introduced like stone tools, the novel adaptations, like these niche constructions of corporations of stone tool, material culture, and there is like a lot of huge gap. So what is the environment that may handle this multiple of taxas to live in the same landscape at the same time, and finally our own genus Homo take advantages and becomes more dominant in that area. So we don't know very well about that time period generally. So knowing the paleoecology and the paleoenvironment may solve some of the puzzles, and I'm mainly studying the taphonomic aspects of this one, analyze bone surface modifications and reconstructing the paleoenvironment by using this proxy. So it will be just additional insights to know this time period.
Cool. I didn't know that about the fossil record having that big gap. It's interesting.
Yeah, there is a big gap. We have, until 2016, we didn't know the earliest Homo. In 2016, there is a new discovery from the Lady Guerrero project, which is the earliest Homo. It pushes it 2.8 million years before present. That feels a little bit gap, but before that, we have Australopithecus garrigae, somehow 2.6 million years, and we have Homo habilis that exists 2.4 to 2.3 million years, and the latter Homo erectus rises. So there is just fragments of fossil records that shows a multiple of taxa, but we don't know what looks like their interaction in the landscape. And yeah, it is a lot of research questions to answer in that time period.
Yeah, that's really cool that even as recent as 2016, there are new discoveries. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Aside from the specifics of looking at Australopithecus and that kind of gap in time, originally when you're a kid, you're a teenager, what got you interested in archaeology and anthropology in general?
Well, my family is a religious family. My father is a priest and always strict Ethiopian Orthodox Church follower, and I lived in that environment, and all of my knowledge is surrounded by the people who live around me. And then when I moved to high school, it is not the independent course, like together with biology, we learned about stone tools, human evolution, just some parts of the textbooks, and it was, it is like a kind of some glimpses of overviews about human evolution, and it talks about Melka Kundure and Konso areas, I remember. And I was so confused about the ages, because my knowledge of the ages is bounded by the biblical age and what they are talking about in this textbook. And I had a conversation with my father, and he didn't agree about that, and always thought on the top of my head to know more about that. And when I moved to undergrad, when I joined undergrad at Addis Ababa University, one of the leading schools in the country, there is archaeology program. And one of the speakers of the program, his name is Dr. Alim Seged Beldados, and he really presented a good lecture about archaeology. And that struck me. That is what I want to no, like, I don't care about carers. He mentioned there is no job opportunity in the country in archaeology since it's a new discipline. But if you are really interested about this issue, it's a cool discipline to study in the future, and there is no enough scholars in the country. And then I think about it before I decided a couple of days, and I signed up to the archaeology program. They took only 22 students by the time a lot of students applied, and I got that opportunity and went to a field school in Afar, which is the place most of the Australopithecus and the earliest hominins discovered. So I went in that field school, and it was a dry land, very hot, remote corners of the world. And on the first couple of days, it was challenging, just a lot of surveying. We didn't find anything. And eventually we started to excavate, and we discovered a lot of stone tools. This is like amazing. The Acheulean stone tools, the site is pretty much younger, kind of 1 million to 1.5 million years old. And we discovered a lot of Acheulean stone tools and some aquatic animal teeth. We found shark teeth, if I remember it correctly. And it is a dry land. I can't imagine that it's like a stream-based environment, or at a certain time it was covered by water. And that makes me more to dig, to excavate, to see. And I think that field school totally changes my perspective and to study. That's what I want to be in the future, that my profession. Yeah.
Oh, you must have been so excited.
Yeah, I was so, so excited. And finally, we back, and we were talking for our friends who are in other social science disciplines, and they didn't believe us on the beginning. But I know what I did, I know what I found, and eventually I got the opportunity to curate these materials in the National Museums of Ethiopia. It's a lot of material, and that's the big door, like, to explore, to see, to interact with scholars. And finally, I went to a Middle Stone Age archaeological site with Ethiopian and US students and professors. In that site also, we discovered a lot of fish bone, which is a dry land pale environment by the time, which is somehow 74,000 years before present. Mm. And we discovered a lot of fossils, which is like from fish to large mammals. And finally, I decided I want to study this discipline for my PhD, and I applied, and
here you
are. Here I am. Yeah,
pursuing your dream. That's amazing.
Thank you.
For people who are kind of new to this field, why do you think it's important to study human origins?
I think it is very important to know where we came from, especially for people who are very curious, like our evolutionary trajectories and where we come from. And it is really cool to trace back millions of years and touch specimens. You are the first person to touch that material or that fossil after several million years, like if you discover something when you excavate. It is a lot of satisfaction, and I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think the fact that people have been excavating and doing archaeology for a really, really long time, and there are still so many things that we don't know.
Yeah, exactly. There are a lot of things we didn't know because the geological records are not complete. It is incomplete, and the more fossils we have, the more research questions we will answer in the future. We know better than what people were knowing in the 20th century at this time. It is good. So in the future also, the more discovery we have, the more research questions we will answer. But still now there are so many things we didn't know about.
Yeah, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. What are some challenges that you faced in conducting your research?
The challenges what I faced is when I was a master's student, I used the Pliocene hard earthed materialis, which is old peak. Mm. They live in the same time period of Australopithecus. I was looking at the bone surfaces of this materialis and reconstructing the predator-prey interaction, basically the mammalian and reptilian carnivores. I was looking at the markers by magnifying lens, 10 times magnifying lens, and in the National Museum of Ethiopia, there is not enough instrument to do that. Mm. And just not enough lab materialis, that was the challenge what I encountered.
Yeah, I imagine that must have been tough.
Yeah, it was a hard time, and I contact people in the US, they sent to me instruments, and my advisor was also outside Ethiopia, Jessica Thompson and Ignacio Lagdavester, they helped me a lot. And yeah, not having the instrument in the museum, in the lab you want to analyze the material is really challenging.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. On the flip side of the challenges, what have been some of the most rewarding parts of your career?
Yeah, working in the materialist, that was really a cool opportunity for me when I was in the National Museum of Ethiopia. And after I came here, also in the years, I participated to seasons of the Grey Bull River Sustainable Landscape Archaeological Project, and finding specimens, finding like a lot of stone tools in the Wyoming areas for 2 months. So it's a cool opportunity that makes me like being out and do field work, surveying, excavating. That is a big thing for me, like instead of sitting in the lab and dealing with the materials, it is good sometimes to out and interact with the materials.
Yeah.
And I teach here the human origin and variation course also for, I'm a TA and I teach independently this course in the lab section, so the lab section in the previous 2 semesters. That is also really cool to see students excited about human evolution, and they always come and ask questions. That makes me like, oh, I really love this discipline.
Yeah.
A lot.
You like teaching?
Yeah, I love teaching.
Do you want to, when you reach your goal of becoming a research scientist, do you hope that you still get to teach?
Yeah, that is one of my plans. As I mentioned before, there is no enough resources, and there is not even a PhD program in my country, even if Ethiopia is a pioneering country in paleoanthropology. We don't have a PhD program, so I have a dream to train, to recruit East African students and to have people in this discipline. So to do that, I'm hoping to join Addis Ababa University after I graduated from here. I will move to Addis Ababa University or the National Museums of Ethiopia. Also, the government is recently launching the Human Origin Museum. If that is going well, I'm hoping it will be a good opportunity to teach and train students.
Yeah, that would be amazing. If there's not already a program there, if you went back and essentially created a program for students?
Yeah, there is a master's program already in paleoanthropology, and my professors are also there. I had a couple of times to talk to them about this stuff, but they don't have enough human power to start a PhD program. Right. There is 3-4 PhD holders only live there, so it is not big enough to start the program. So the more recently, we have a handful of students who are training in Europe and US. I am hoping some of them are good friends of mine, and I'm hoping someday we will start the PhD program in Ethiopia and train the younger generation.
Cool. That sounds really special. And mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll do that. You're on the right path.
Yeah.
Lastly, what is one piece of advice that you would give to a new graduate student in anthropology?
I think my experience may be different from the other people's experience, like the challenges where I come in would be the same as for other students. For example, as a graduate student, it wasn't easy for me to manage time. Time management was really a big deal at CSU for the first semester. And one piece of advice what I can give is just use your time properly. I don't know how to say it. Just time management is really cool and sometimes it's tough.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, in this discipline, it needs a lot of patience and courage. When you're out in the field, you may not expect like the challenges.
Listener, feel free to connect with the Africa Center by visiting africacenter.colostate.edu, and the tab at the top that says connect will allow you to join our email list where you can receive newsletters as well as information about upcoming events. We look forward to seeing you next time, and thank you for listening to Field Notes.